You're listening to the Newsmakers podcast from MLB.com.
Mr. Rocket, Bill Latson, welcome to Newsmakers. I went to see the Rockies recently, and I had great conversations with manager Bud Black, outfielder Ian Desmond, third baseman Nolan Arenado, and closer Greg Holland. We start with Black. Even though the Rockies are in the playoff race, he has to find a way to fix the starting rotation. Enjoy the podcast. Bud Black, thank you so much for being on the show. Bud, every time I see you or even watch you manage, you always have a positive attitude. You joke with the media. Where does that positive attitude come from?
Well, Bill, I think that, with me, I've learned over time that, you know, this is a tough game. This is a tough game, and we're all very competitive. I think that, from a leadership standpoint, being positive, being encouraging, I think is, in my view, the best way to go about it. You know, I've been around some, great managers in my day. Played for Dick Houser, played for Roger Craig, played for John McNamara. Mm-hmm. These guys were extremely positive men. Okay. Played for Dusty Baker. He was an encourager, positive. And then, being around Mike Socia, Joe Maddon, modern-day managers that I coached with, again, I think, consistently, being the same every day, being level-headed, I think is the right way to go about it.
How good is it to finally have the horses to win?
Well, this is a good team, and I think, hopefully that, this will continue as we move forward as an organization. I think, there's some talent in this organization. This group here on the position player side, these guys are settled into their careers. Arenado, Carlos Gonzalez, LeMahieu, Blackman, Desmond. These guys are big leaguers, and a few of them are all-stars. On the pitching side, we're young, especially in the starting pitching. And not that that's a concern, but you worry about young pitchers. Mm-hmm. I love them. At the same time, because they're energetic, they got good stuff. They got their eyes and ears open. It's great to see, and it's great to work with. But overall, I think presently in the organization, there's talent, and I think there's talent coming. So it's a good combination.
The starting pitching has been struggling a little bit lately. Right. And they're young, as you said. Are you thinking about giving them a blow?
Well, we've talked about that often, and with Antonio Sensatella, we've given him a little bit of a blow. He's probably soon to join our rotation. We talked about giving Kyle Freeland a little bit of a blow, but now that Tyler Chatwood has been disabled with a calf strain, that plan might have to be skirted a little bit. So sometimes the best laid plans can go a little haywire depending on what's happening at the moment. But, our guys are holding up okay. Marquez, is a guy that's, pitched innings the last couple years. John Gray, missed some time. He should be fine the rest of the way. We have Chad Bettis coming back. We talked about Freeland. I think his stamina is going to hold up. Mm-hmm. So, we'll monitor it, as we go along. But, we like where they are physically and mentally, our young starters.
In my first podcast, I remember I said to you, if you guys get some bullpen help, you guys could be competitive. And you were able to get that bullpen help. Greg Holland has been phenomenal. Could you talk about the bullpen, especially Holland, too?
Yeah, Holland's been, phenomenal. We wouldn't be where we are right now without Greg. When you talk about a game that starts, for me, it's very important to have that good starter starting the game with talent. And at the end of the game, a guy with talent. That sort of gives you a pretty good feeling going into a ball game when your starter's going to give you good work, and you feel pretty secure at the end. And then you got to make it work. And our bullpen, McGee, Ottaviano, Oberg, Dunn, Russin, You know, these fellows have done a nice job. I mean, there's been some hiccups here and there, like you know, all bullpens, but you know, overall, consistently, they've done a pretty good job of doing what they need to do to win a ball game. And Greg has been, you know, such an anchor that you know, his percentage rate is so high, as evident by, you know, his number of saves, and I think he's only blown one, but you know, he's been tremendous.
When did you know Holland was back and he has recovered from Tommy John?
Well, I think the first week, you know, in spring training, you know, he looked good, but you never know. You know, I mean, the velocity readings and his stuff in spring training looked solid enough that, you know, we felt good about, you know, where he could go. But when the season started, you know, opening a series in Milwaukee, you know, I saw a guy that, you know, took it up a level. You know, just, you know, both, you know, mentally and physically. He nailed down save opening day. He got a save in game two. He got a save in game four. We won three out of four. And that showed me that, and these were close games on the road, and he showed me, you know, why he was a two-time All-Star, why he had such a great save percentage in Kansas City. You know, this guy's proven. You know, this guy's battle-tested, and I saw that the first week. And again, I think, you know, physically, as we've gone along, he's passed every physical marker, which, you know, we expected, because, you know, he was keeping us informed of how he felt through spring training. So we felt good about the physical aspect, too.
Man, that NL West is tough.
Oh, man, you're right. I mean, you look at, you know, what the Dodgers are doing, you know, what they've done their last, you know, 35 games or so. You know, that's a good club. And, you know, you look at their, you know, their team pitching. It's been outstanding. Again, they have, you know, probably the premier starter in the game in Kershaw. There's a couple other guys who might make a claim for that, but Kershaw's awful tough, and they got a great closer in Jansen. Like we talked about earlier, you know, the guy, you know, the guys who start the game, the guy who closes it, you know, they got a good combination. And, you know, they got a nice blend of young players and veteran players. When you look at Seager and Bellinger, two stars, and the veteran guys with, you know, Justin Turner and, you know, Utley. You know, it's a nice mix of guys. And, again, guys in the middle of their career, Puig and Grandal, doing nice work, too. So it's a good team.
Arizona,
too. You look at, you know, their expectation a year ago was real high, as expected. You know, they made a trade for Shelby Miller. You know, they got Greinke. And then, you know, you add, you know, Goldschmidt and Pollock and Lamb and, you know, Tomas and that group of position players, Peralta. You know, it's a good group. And, you know, last year was a tough year for them. It didn't meet expectations, but the talent was still there. And this year, you know, they're meeting that expectation. So, you know, they're very talented. And, you know, Rodney's doing a nice job for them in the bullpen, along with Bradley, those two guys at the end. And, you know, Robbie Ray was an All-Star, and Corbin's got a good arm, and Taijuan Walker and Greinke. You look at it, and it makes sense.
As the season ended today, you guys make the wild card. Are you looking? How do you look into the future?
Well, again, I mean, you know, it's, you know, the broader, you know, the broader view. It, you know, it's nice to look at that. You know, we're looking at the short term. You know, we know that it's such a long season. There's a lot of baseball left, and a lot can change, but. You know, our goals are really short term, really about just, you know, playing good series, playing good games, and we know that if we do that, you know, the long term will take care of itself. But it's not easy. This is a tough gig. So, you know, we're doing everything we can, you know, to stay right where we are.
And what's up with Cargo? That's not unlike
it. Yeah, you're right. I think that, you know, this is a process that, you know, we have to be patient with. You know, he's a great player. And, you know, I've been told that he is, you know, he can be streaky. And we're seeing that he's been a little bit of a, you know, a downturn, you know, a couple different times this year. We thought there in, you know, middle May that he was starting to find it. But, it's been you know, it's been a tough one so far for Cargo, but there's a lot of some time here for him to show what he truly is, and that's a really good player.
And your patience has showed big time. Is that because of what you went through as a player?
Well, again, I think that, you know, this is a game that tests you. You know, this is a game that you know, a long-term game every day. I think patience pays off. You know, it's easy to be impatient in this mm-hmm. game, but time has shown me that. You know, the cream will rise to to the top. You know, water will find its level. And I think that's what's going to happen when you talk about Cargo.
My next guest is Nolan Arenado. Let me tell you, he is more than just a slugger. He's one of the best defenders in baseball. Enjoy the podcast. Nolan Arenado, thank you so much for being on the show. Nolan, you were drafted as a catcher. Then suddenly, you started winning gold gloves at third base. And it started at your rookie year. And how did you learn to play third base so quickly?
Well, obviously, I played shortstop in high school, so that kind of helped me out. I played catcher just to get drafted to help my draft status up, but I was mostly a shortstop. And, you know, I just loved playing short, and they moved me to third. They saw that I had good hands. I didn't have very good feet. You know, I was kind of young, slow, but, you know, obviously, as I got older, I started to get a little quicker. I lost weight. I leaned out. I had good coaches that have really helped me out become a better defensive player, so... A lot of the credit goes to them.
Who do you, I mean, name the coaches. Who are they that helped you out defensively?
Well, Scotty Fletcher was our fielding rover when I was in the minor leagues, and he was huge impact on me in my fielding. I still take the drills he did with me when I was 18. I'm 26 now, so I still do them now. Him, Jerry Weinstein, he's our double-A manager in Hartford. He was a huge impact on me also. He's been huge for me. How to go to the ball. I mean, he made me work when I didn't want to work. So, you know, he pushed me to some good limits.
When we see you on TV, you make so many acrobatic catches. When you see yourself on TV, what do you say? Man, I'm good.
No, I don't say that. I say, I'm good. I'm glad I made that play. I shouldn't be making those plays. You know, some of them, you know, I'm a little bit like, wow, I can't believe I made that play. There's no doubt. Sometimes I'm a little bit in shock I made it. But at the same time, you know, I expect to make a lot of my plays, and I expect to go out there and compete. But you know, I don't really have a whole lot of answers on you know, I don't know why I make them. You know, obviously I put the work in. I think I give myself a chance, and obviously it's nice to have a good first baseman, and I've had great first baseman playing from him.
Obviously you're one of the better hitters in baseball, but when I see you talk, it seems like you're very humble and you have a lot to learn. Do you agree with that?
Well, I appreciate that, but yeah, I do. I don't, you know, I feel like, you know, I'm getting better, but there's still so much room to grow as a baseball player and as a, you know, a human, a man, you know. And, you know, I just know there's a lot of steps I need to take. And, you know, I'm getting better and I've done some great things, but, you know, there's still so much room for to get better. Like, I know I'm not satisfied with what I'm doing. I have a lot I need to get better at and I want to get better at. But, you know, that's baseball. Baseball's always going to keep you coming back to learn more and grow, and that's something I want to do.
You've been at the All-Star Game and the World Baseball Classic. Have you asked for hitting tips from your contemporaries?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, I talked to Goldschmidt a little bit about hitting. Not so much, you know, during the season. You know, obviously we play against him, so he doesn't give me too much. But, you know, I talked to Daniel Murphy at the WBC. I loved him. Hosmer. You know, I talked to a lot of those guys, and then I talked to him at the All-Star Game watching Votto and different guys. So, I've got a chance to play with some pretty good hitters, and I got a chance to talk to some really good ones, and, you know, credit to them, you know, listen to them talk. Now I know why they are who they are.
I know you mentioned Daniel Murphy, which is very interesting. What have you learned from him?
Just the way he goes about his business, very calm, very good, very in control of what he's doing. You know, he's got so much confidence, always positive, always in a good mood, willing to communicate. There's a lot of things I have respect for Dan Murphy. You know, he's just a strong man and a great human being, and I'm just very, you know, proud I got to know him. And just talking about the game, man, he's got a good heart.
The Rockies have improved dramatically this year. You guys would make the playoffs if the season ended today. How proud are you of this team?
Oh, I'm very proud. You know, I'm very proud. You know, obviously, we're not playing great baseball right now, but there's still a lot of room to get better, and we understand that. But it's been good so far. It's been good. We're battling. We're giving our chance to play meaningful baseball games, and that's what we want. So hopefully we can continue to play a little bit better and continue to grow, and hopefully we can get to where we want to be.
What do you need to improve to make sure you guys make the playoffs?
Everything right now. I mean, right now there's a lot of things we need to change, and we need to start playing better defense. way better hitting, and we need to start pitching better. So we got to do everything right now.
I noticed that you went to Cuba after the season. I know your father's from there. Talk about that trip to Cuba.
Yeah, obviously it was a lot of fun, and it was a great experience to see, you know, what the Cuban people are going through. Very unique people, and it was so much fun, man. I truly enjoyed everything about it. They were to see how they live and see what's going on over there. Some of it's pretty sad, but to see how positive the people are and how they enjoy life and how they're at peace, it's pretty pretty remarkable. Because, you know, I'm over here in the United States complaining about my iPhone, and they don't even have that stuff. So.
And what about your father? To see your father go there for the first time in God knows when.
Yeah, you know, it was great. You know, I think he was a little nervous going back, but, you know, he really loved it. You know, I think he loved it more than he thought he was going to. You know, he still has a little frustration toward Cuba and stuff like that because of, you know, what happened with his family and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, he realizes that that's where he's born, and he's very fortunate to be from there.
You're proud to be Cuban, aren't you?
Yes, I am. I'm very proud. I'm very proud. I'm very proud to be American also. You know, I'm born in America, so I'm very proud to be American and be from this country. But to have that Cuban blood, it's pretty great because I know what it is to be Cuban, and I have those family members, and it's just a unique, unique people.
My next guest is Ian Desmond, and he's healthy now, and he can't wait to help the Rockies go to the postseason. Enjoy the podcast. Ian Desmond, thank you so much for being on the show. Ian, when I saw you in spring training, you said the Rockies were good enough to go to the postseason. You were proven right. What do you like about this team?
We got a lot of grit. We got a lot of guys in here that have been through, you know, ups and downs. We got a lot of guys in here that have had a lot of really good ups. We got, you know, Gold Glove winners. We got Silver Sluggers. We got batting champions. We got All Stars. And we've got elite pitching. You know, Holland at the end. We got some very good young pitching. You know, we've got guys to bridge that gap to from the starters to the bullpen. You know, lately it's been a little bit of a struggle, but, you know, that's, I think, water under the bridge. I think it's about to go back to the old way.
What do they have to do to improve, you think?
I think it's just, you know, keep on working, you know, trusting the process, trusting what your process is, trusting your routine, and believe in that, don't waver, you know, just stick to it.
You talked about Greg Holland. Greg Holland is having an excellent season. No one thought this, and he's proven everyone wrong. What do you like about him?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, to say no one, you know, thought it, I think all of us were excited when we signed him. I think he believes in himself and has believed in himself. I don't think any of this comes as a surprise to him. You know, he's been throughout his career a very effective pitcher at the back end of the bullpen. And, you know, he hasn't missed a beat. Obviously, coming off the injury, there's always a little bit of uncertainty. But, you know, I think doctors are so good now that, you know, it's almost like, you know, it's just a little time away.
The bullpen seems to be the difference for this team, don't you think?
I think so, yeah. The bullpen has been, you know, for the most part, great for us all year. In a ballpark where it's tough to get outs. You know, we're going to need them a lot down the stretch, and excited to see them shine.
How's your season going?
You know, it's still unfolding. I think
the batting average is there.
The batting average is there. Hits are there. Got to get some extra base hits, and got to get moving on the bases a little bit more. Score some runs. Drive in some more runs. But yeah, I mean, I think there's a good foundation to build on.
Now, you've had some flukish injuries. I mean, they're flukish, and and that's unlike any of your other seasons. You're always playing like 150, 160 games. Is that frustrating?
Not necessarily frustrating. It's unfortunate, but you know, I'm trying to tell myself, you know, who are you to think that, you know, you're above injury? You know, I think I've been really blessed for my whole career to not have to spend very much time on the DL. And you know, this is one of those years where I kind of, you know, got a little bit humble, a little bit of humility, you know, I guess. And you just realize that, hey, you know, like, it's part of the job, and you just keep focused, keep on your routine, keep believing in the process, and don't let it deter you from what the end goal is.
You were supposed to start the season at first base, but now you're in left field. How do you like the outfield? I think you've become one hell of an outfielder.
Thank you. Yeah, I like it. It's an opportunity to help the team. It's an opportunity to give Bud some versatility, I'm glad to do it.
The thing that impresses me the most is your range. Did you think you would have that much range?
I think it was all a little bit of an unknown. But, you know, fortunately I've got some really good coaches and some good people in my corner that, you know, push me and help me to be better. And they also understand that, you know, I'm still learning. So I can't go out there and expect to be, what Para and what Cargo are. They've been playing there their whole lives. But I can't expect to work hard and go out there and put my best foot forward.
Do you miss playing short?
There's definitely days. There's things I miss about it. But we've got a really good shortstop here, one of the best in the game, and it's fun to watch him play.
Ian, it seems like yesterday, and this is including myself, that we were comparing you to Derek Jeter. How do you look back on that? How do you feel?
Yeah, you know, that's not something that I ever really compared myself to. Derek Jeter is a hell of a ball player and obviously had an unbelievable career. Those I would say were my glory days, those early days, early days.
But if you look back on it, Ian, you have a hell of a career.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. A lot of hard work, and I feel like there's still a lot left in the tank.
When I look at your stats, games played, the home runs, the RBIs, I think you've done pretty well.
Thank you. I remember back in the minor leagues, you know, I was supposed to be like a defensive first shortstop. it's amazing how those people got it, you know, wrong or right, how you look at it. But I'm extremely blessed to be able to do what I love to do for a living and to be able to provide for my family and go out there and just really soak up every day.
The one thing that sticks out for me is your leadership skills. Did you always believe you had those skills? Everyone talks about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that people talk about. It's not something that I don't come to the field, you know, every day like saying, oh, I got to put my leader hat on. You know, I just come to the field, you know, and put my work in and try to be as professional as I can and try to be, you know, unwavering. You know, I try to be the same guy every single day. And, in this game, that's not always easy to do, but you kind of got to suck it up for your teammates sometimes.
In a couple of weeks, you'll be going to Washington for the first time since you left there. Tell me how you feel about going to Washington.
Yeah, it's something I haven't given deep thought to, but it has crossed my mind. It's going to be exciting. There's a lot of, you know, relationships that I've built there. There's a lot of people there that, have invested time in me, and, I've been able to build some valuable friendships and relationship with, and I'm looking forward to seeing them, and looking forward to seeing some of the fans that have rooted me on, you know, for so long, kind of been in my corner, supported me on and off the field, through ups and downs, and kind of been there for the journey. So I'm excited to get back to see them, and just overall, a lot of good memories there, and in the city, on the field, and looking forward to kind of, sparking that again.
Who do you still keep in touch with?
I keep in touch with a lot of people over there. Probably too many to name, but I think the players, I think everyone knows, you got a pretty good relationship with Jason and Zim and Harp and Rendon. We keep in touch a little bit. Brian Goodwin, Michael A.
Yeah, he's doing well.
He is. He's having a great year. Him and Goodyear are both doing really well. I'm proud of both of those guys. There's so many people beyond the field that I keep in touch with. Randy Nord, Troy Gingrich, Sean Bertani, who's in front office, community relations president. There's so many. But fans, there's people I've got really good relationships with there. Like I said, too many to name.
I remember your last game as a National, you cried. Do you still miss D.C.?
I think that page has been turned. It was emotional, man. I think, being 18 years old, coming into an organization, leaving your family, and kind of being accepted into a new family, so to speak. And, there was a lot of time, hard work, energy, blood, sweat, and tears, literally all above. Invested into that organization and to see that time at the time come to an end. I definitely pulled on my heartstrings, but I've been fortunate since then to land in some pretty good organizations, and Was blessed to be in Texas last year with some really good players. Got to play with two potentially future Hall of Famers in Carlos Beltran and Adrian Beltre, and obviously got to play alongside Chu and Elvis Andrews, Odor, young stud, Mazzara. And then I come over here and kind of fall into the same situation where, we just had four All-Stars, probably should have had five. Mm-hmm. And then, got to play alongside and get to play alongside some really good, young, promising pitching. So, I've been very fortunate to be on some really good teams, and that kind of allows that moving on process to go a little faster.
Final question. Are you used to the altitude?
I don't know if I try not to let it affect me, mentally. Physically, I don't know. I haven't really gauged, how that works out yet. But I think adapting to new ballparks, adapting to new clubhouses, new city, and trying to establish that new routine takes time. And fortunately, I've got 5 years to get used to it.
My final guest is Greg Holland. Let me tell you, he recovered from Tommy John surgery and is now one of the best closers in baseball. He explains why he was able to recover. Enjoy the podcast.
Greg Holland, thank you so much for being on the show. You missed the last few weeks of 2015 and all of 2016. How tough was it for you to get back?
It was a grind. I mean, anyone who's been through it can tell you. Used to being able to go out there and play and do your job, but more importantly, it's fun. It's something you've done as a child all the way through adulthood. So something that's part of your life that all of a sudden is taken away from you. But you got to understand, it's in the grand scheme of things, it's nothing that important. You got to keep at it, stay mentally strong, and hopefully you got people surrounding you that can help you, when you're down and out a little bit.
Speaking of the people surrounding you, talk about the people who helped you get through the procedure, which was Tommy John surgery, and talk about that.
Neil Elitrosh did my surgery out in L.A. Mm-hmm. And he obviously he's one of the best, so I was confident going to him. But I had a lot of people. I did the initial stages of my rehab in Kansas City over the winter after we won the World Series, because Dayton Moore, the general manager, who's an incredible man, incredible baseball man too, but even though I knew they were going to non-tender me, he said, you can stay here as long as you want, because I had that familiarity with a training staff who I'd been with since 2010, so they knew where I should be at certain points in my rehab. And I felt comfortable doing that, and they let me stay there until around the middle to end of January. Then I went to the Fisher Institute out in Tempe and rehabbed there with Brett Fisher for basically through the whole process of spring training. And then I went back home to Asheville and did the rest of my rehab at Asheville Ball and Joint, and did my throwing program at UNC Asheville. Scott Friedholm, their coach, was incredible in always having the availability to throw with me and having a catcher for me. But also, the training staff here in Colorado, keeping me healthy up to this point has been incredible. So it's been plenty of people, and not to mention my family. Strong bond to keep me uplifted through a time that, wasn't a great point in my life, but, they were there to support me.
When did you know that you were back from Tommy John? Because it was almost right away, once the season started, that you got off to a great start. You still have a great year. When did you know you were back?
Getting the back-to-back in spring training, it's certain steps. I never thought, hey, I'm back. But there's certain items you check off your list. It was getting off the mound in late summer, early fall for the first time. Then it was getting to spring training and facing hitters on the backfield. And then it was getting into a game and then getting in a back-to-back situation. And, fortunately for me, first series were in Milwaukee. I go back-to-back first two games of the year, and I end up throwing 3 out of 4, so that was another checklist. Right out of the gate, get that out of the way. That helps you build confidence that not that you're back from a velocity or I'm back to my old self standpoint, but I'm back to a healthy position where I feel like my body's recovering enough for me to play this game at a high level.
The numbers prove, in my opinion, that you're back. And I got to ask you this. Are you surprised by the numbers that you have put up? Because usually when you come back from Tommy John surgery, you start off slow. Are you surprised by the numbers you put up, which are great numbers?
No, not really. I think a lot of the numbers are attributed to the high level of baseball that our teams played the first half. You know, I got a lot of chances to finish games when we had a lead, so that has to do with a lot more people than me to be able to do that. But I think from a competitive standpoint, you always expect the best out of yourself, and whatever role that is, you know, I believe when the phone rings and it's my turn, I've got a job to do, and I fully expect to do it.
I got to go back to the Royals a minute. You talked about how much they helped you after Tommy John. Were you shocked that you stayed there at rehab as long as you did?
No, not really. You know, there were some conversations. They knew I was going to have surgery, and my price tag to keep me as without non-tendering me was going to be high. And, you know, they talked to me about that face-to-face, and I respected the heck out of that. I fully anticipated that's what was going to happen, you know. But it's a great organization. You know, it's one I'm proud that I played for so long. I was drafted by them, and that was the only team I've been with before I signed here. So for them to help me out post-surgery was I showed a lot of grace.
I want to ask you this, too. I told Bud Black late last year that if the Rockies could get a bullpen, because that was the biggest problem last year, that this team can be competitive, and you come along, the team is doing well. How far can this team go?
Well, we've got some really talented guys. We've got a good defense. We're athletic. We've got a good lineup. We've got a good young rotation who's been good. Our bullpen, I think, can be dynamic. Right now we're in a little bit of a lull, but I think once we get all the pieces rolling in the right direction, we can be a dangerous team like we were, you know, basically all but 2 weeks of the first half.
Talk about Bud Black. He was a pitching coach. How good is it to have him guide you on this team?
He knows, you know, that knowledge of knowing the grind of a 162-game season and knowing what it feels like to throw and what your recovery aspect of it is. And that was a key thing for me signing here was I talked to Buddy and Steve Foster and Darren Holmes, and we all collectively have kept an open dialogue about how I feel, how I'm recovering, because they don't want, especially early in the season, they didn't want to push me too hard. And that communication, I think, is key. And, you know, they've done an incredible job with what's a really, really young starting rotation. I think our average age is 25 or something crazy like that. So they've done a great job with the mental aspect of it for those young guys, but also keeping guys healthy, keeping guys on the field.
You made it to the All-Star team. how grateful and thankful that you made it?
I'm blessed. It's incredible. You know, I like to stay in the moment. I don't like to get too emotional about stuff. But it was something that I, in the back of my mind, I really wanted to accomplish. You never know, but I would have been just happy with being a productive player and staying healthy and staying on the field this year. But being able to be selected All-Star game and then pitch the eighth inning of a tie game in it was pretty special for me.
As you know, there were other teams who had a chance to sign you before you went to Colorado. We're talking about the Nationals and the Rangers. And what was the process like, you know, during free agency as you were going through it, and then all of a sudden you with the Rockies, and you're the reason this Rocky team is in contention?
It was kind of nerve-wracking for a while. But then once I got to a point where I was long tossing and throwing off the mound, and I felt what my body is accustomed to feeling, what I felt in the past, being free and easy and loose. That opened up a window for me to kind of, I told my wife, I was like, hey, let's just stay patient with it. I know I'm healthy. I feel great. And the right opportunity will come along. And It just worked out here in Colorado. There's several factors. I thought they had a chance to be a very good team, which we've proved we can be. Like I said, knowing Steve Foster, who is my bullpen coach in Kansas City, that helped a lot. Knowing Darren Holmes, lives in the same hometown as me, and having that communication with Jeff and Buddy about my usage early in the season, it all just felt like the right fit for me.
Now, talk about, we had heard that you were going to sign with the Nationals. What went wrong there?
I don't know. I think it just didn't work out as far as what I felt like was right contractually, or my agent felt was right, because, you know, I don't really know the numbers, how that stuff plays out and how value plays out. But I thought all those factors I said about Colorado fit really well with, and made me, I was very comfortable with the situation. And then they gave me an opportunity to prove I was healthy and make more money and through incentives by proving I was healthy. So I feel like that was a fair deal on both ends, because if I was productive, I was going to be more valuable, obviously, and it's worked out that way.
And, you know, speaking of productive, the Rockies gave you a major league contract, and you proved that you can still play this game.
Yeah, it's like I said, I like to stay in the moment, but this is it's been a pretty incredible few months for me, not playing at all last year, and getting back to the big leagues, let alone being able to play at a high level again, and being able to play on a team who I think can do something special in September and October when we get the ball rolling in the right direction. So it's just been it's been great. You know, I have there's not one thing that I could have asked for more where I'm at right now on the team I'm on.
Do you want to stay here? I know you could be a free agent again. Do you want to stay here?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I fit in well. I feel like it's a dynamic team with an opportunity to be good again next year. So we'll see how that plays itself out. You know, I feel like I've meshed well in the clubhouse. I feel like it's a good group of guys. I think that goes a long way. It's hard to quantify it in wins and losses, but I think it helps you when you go through adversity and stuff to have a good tight-knit group, and we definitely have that here.
Final question. What do you want to see the Rockies improve on during the second half?
Just get back to what we did early in the year. Pitch well and hit really well and defend the baseball. All the pieces are there. We just have to collectively do it. And, you know, I think it's on every different piece. You know, the days we don't score 8 or 9 runs, we got to pitch better. And the days we don't pitch very well, we need to defend the heck out of it, and maybe steal some bases, move some runners over, and get that extra 1 or 2 runs that's going to translate to a win.